And they are not necessarily as long or as short. There's no guarantee how long something lasts. The only guarantee I can promise you is this too shall pass. That is it. It will pass. It has a time. I don't know if it's 6 months or it's a year. What Job experienced happened in 6 months. Most of us would have been in a fetal position in a corner in a padded room. But there's a season comes around for all of us. And it doesn't always hit the body at the same time because it's a strategic season and it's called an offensive season. You know, most of you who lived during the Vietnam War know of the 69 Tet Offensive. The Vietnamese, or the Viet Cong, tried to overthrow on the Tet, which is their new year. And we withheld them. But we have got to start seeing that there are seasons. We can start feeling it building up. You can start feeling tension building up. Just when you just know something's not right, and then next thing you know, I'll give you an example. This morning, I woke up early and was laying in there praying and talking to the Lord. And I got up early and I come through the house and Angela innocently just came in and asked me a question. And I have no idea why I replied like I did, but it was very rude on my behalf. But her reply back to me was just as rude. And I was like, and I hope. And then I started seeing what the devil was doing. My message was about to be on offense. And here's what took place. She replied the way she did because I replied back to her question a little sharply. And now that I'm sitting back thinking about it on the other side, there was no reason, and it was an accusatory. That's what the devil, she's accusing you. And it's like, no. I can now totally see her, where she was coming from in that. And so I refuse to bite on the offense. Now, we're going to look in the Bible this morning. Go ahead and open your Bible to Matthew chapter 18. And verse 7. And I'm actually going to read through verse 9 on this. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offense comes. Okay, we're going to talk some more about this. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into the hellfire. Okay? Now, I was praying in my office this morning and was asking the Lord, you know, like I was like, Father, there's more to this. I know there's more to this. There's things that God has been showing me even about offense, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But first off, offenses must come. You know why they're going to come? Because we have different personalities. Personality conflict is the number one source of offense. That's it. You just didn't like the person. Or maybe that person just is this way. They don't mean to be rude. Now, we'll talk about personal responsibility in a minute, but we are typically offended at somebody's person. If somebody's easygoing, go lucky, you know, we love them, don't we? They're the person in the school everybody loved. But the person who was shy, well, they're stuck up. No, they're not. Some of the people that I've heard in the church, most of my life was raised being in church with church people. Oh, that person stuck up. That person had no self-confidence, for starters, and was extremely shy and was trying to remain pure. So yeah, they weren't chasing every hot dog running up and down the sidewalk. Who cares? You have no right to talk about them. You're offended at somebody for something that they didn't do. It's all in our head. Well, I just don't like them. Well, that's fine. Shut your pie hole. You don't need to like everybody. I shared last week, about a world-renowned violin player who I have met personally and do not like him as a person. But he is still anointed. And what I think of him does not matter because he's not my servant. He's God's. Because I'm sure he doesn't like me. As a matter of fact, there's a few people that don't like me. And I've had some of them tell me. Shut up, Phil. But, see, we get offended because we misinterpret things 9 times out of 10. There are legitimate offense. There are people who make it their life. I don't know why this is the way it is today. There are people who think it's cool to be offensive. Well, if I offend you, unfriend me. I might be the only connection you have with God right now, and I might be the only thing that might save you from hell. So I think I'll just hold off on that, on unfriending you just yet. But I will speak the truth, and most of the people that have come and said they don't like me is because I told them the truth. I will tell you, no. Matter of fact, the other day I had an opportunity. Somebody I've helped in the past moved away. Next thing I know, they come in. The door had gotten left open. They came into the office. I'm sitting there, and they wanted to know if I could give them some gas money. They don't even live in this county anymore. But they made it all the way down here to ask me for gas money. And I just sat there. That was my day off, too. I was just picking up my boys. And I just sat there, and I was like, God, what? And the Spirit of the Lord rose up, and I said, no. 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 I'm not. No. That's all I could do. You could ask boys. I said, no. I couldn't even explain. I just said, no. No. And I was a little riled up. I ain't going to lie about it. It's like the only time I ever see you is when you want to stick your hand out. And when I saw him drive away with his girlfriend or whoever she was, I could see the hand flying around in the car talking. And, you know, so there's people you got to deal with like that sometimes. You just got to tell them the truth. I had one person got mad at me because I told him I'm not a babysitter and I'm not here to babysit you. And that was in church. That was my first message. My job is to grow you up to be big boys and girls. We're all big boys and girls except for a couple in here. And they have a right because they are still toddlers. Well, actually, one of them is back there by Phil. He was trying to blame it on his grandson, but. But then there are times people just misinterpret something. Somebody else took something wrong. You know, I don't remember when it was. Somebody said something stupid to me one time. It was just stupid. I didn't think anything of it. But one of my sons heard it. They took the offense. I didn't think anything of it because I knew it was a personality. the person just didn't think, and I don't remember who it was or what was said. I just know how it affected somebody else. Because the rest of that person, that's the rest of the day just went nuts because of an offense. An offense is a trap. The word is scandalon in the Greek, and it means a snare. Okay? It is a trap. It is hidden. It is intentional for the most part. But the thing is what took place was not intentional. The trap is the offense. You understand what I'm saying? What tripped you up was just the bait. The trap is where you're stuck now. If you understand anything about a trap, you are stuck. You don't just get to get out of the trap. You know, I like watching Northwood's Law on TV. You know, they've got all kinds of things, game wardens up in Maine. And, you know, they from time to time, they got to trap a bear. You know, they got this big old piece of culvert. It's got a cage on one end and or trap door on one end, and they bait it. They put donuts and all kinds of sweet stuff in there. See, the bait's what lured you into the trap. As a matter of fact, you know, in the Bible, it even talks, it's a stumbling block. Like you tripped over something and you fell into it. That's what those things are, personality conflicts. And if we refuse to bite on those, we don't fall into trap. See, because what the imagery I get of it, because it says a stumbling block. See, Jesus is a stumbling block to many people because they refuse to see that he is the way, the truth, and the life. They refuse to see that he was the Messiah. So they trip and they fall into a trap. Now, so if we see that, okay, it's a personality conflict. Most of you probably got a coworker. I remember one time I had this coworker I worked with in Columbus. Somebody came up. I mean, we fought, and there was a couple times I thought it was going to come down to who was going to walk out of the parking lot that night, and. I don't know why we just did not like each other. Somebody came up at lunch one time. I mean, we'd been sitting there. I mean, just snarky remarks the whole lunchtime. And said, "Are you two brothers?" I said, "No." And I said something smart. I realized it was a personality conflict. I'll be honest with you, he was one of those guys who liked to skate in on other people's coattails. And at this point in my life, I had had enough of those type of people. I had pulled them around enough. Go get your own coattails. And I realized later what he was doing. I worked in an area where there was a welder welding frames together for these truck scales. Right at the end of my area, and I had no shielding. So I got safety glasses that were tinted. And he walked up one day, and he says, "Why are you wearing those? I don't like them on you." I'm like, "What difference does it make to you? There's a welder right here in my work area." And then I realized, see, I taught a few years ago about the eyes are windows into your soul or your personality. And if people can look in your eyes, they can see. They can figure out if they can kind of control you. But see, when he couldn't see my eyes, he couldn't tell my mood. And he already knew that he and I might end up out back and one of us is going to be in the dumpster. And I was ornery enough at that point and a lot enough younger than him, he was going in the dumpster. Doggone it, even if it killed me to put him there. But anyhow, so what I've learned is sometimes we take offense. We'll take offense for a family member. "You did this against my daddy." Listen, I'll tell you, that's the number one stupid reason to be mad at somebody else. Because you don't know what your daddy said or did. See, I've had to realize that, you know, I wasn't there in the conversation. I wasn't there. I don't know what was said and done. Now, putting myself there, I know what I might have said and done that could have pushed this thing even further. Because, as my family has so elegantly informed me, I am just like my father in some things. And I've realized on my own, that is one of those things I am just like him on. Sometimes I don't know when to back off. And I might just push that envelope a little bit further. Anybody else like to push the envelopes? I think we all like to push envelopes just a little bit. Oh, come on, officer. I was only 100 feet away from the 55 zone. Well, try that in front of Menards. I know there's a few of you in here that's been pulled over. I see hands going up. But anyhow, so the offense we take is something we have no idea what it was about. You know, the greatest feud in the country, everybody knows about it, Hatfields and the McCoys, started over a pig. And it keeps going. And to this day, they did finally sign in court a peace treaty. However, when you go out and you talk to them, I've saw the interviews, there are people that say, I still don't like Hatfields. I don't like McCoys. Who cares? Both of your grandfathers were morons. Stop the stupidity. But you see, we all have things like this. Well, this person did this to my great-great-granddaddy. I don't like them. I mean, if I'm going to be serious, my family comes from an area called Morrison Ridge in West Virginia. And they did come across the river when it was still froze. So they left West Virginia a long time ago. But if we all know how families that live close together work, somebody gets offended. So if we're going to hold that, there's probably, however many generations back, somebody, Woodell's wrong to Morrison wrong to Woodell. Who knows? And who cares? Okay? Yeah. When we get offended over stupid things like that, it's setting us up. It's keeping us in a trap. Okay, I want to show something here. What God started showing me. He said, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, or if your eye causes you to sin. He's pointing out, because I was like, God, I don't believe. I've been offended. Anybody in here not been offended? Okay, there should be no hands up. Every one of us has been offended. We've all been offended at somebody. Somebody hurt us. Okay, but the problem is, the hurt was not the trap. The trap was on the other side. It's the offense that we hold. The unforgiveness that we're holding towards somebody. It's holding us. And what Jesus began talking about here, I was like, God, okay. You know, because I remember the Little House on the Prairie where Caroline got sick. Or she got a cut and it started getting gangrene. So she's going to cut her, I think it was her hand off or something. You know, because she read that in the scripture. If it's hurting you, cut it off. You know, and, you know, which they said in a couple hours more and she could have been dead. But this is what we think. Oh, I'm going to cut my hands off. I'm going to cut my feet off. Okay, stop and think about that for a second. Literally, you're going to be a cripple. You're going to walk around on nubs. You're not going to be able to work. You're not going to be able to wash yourself, cook, eat. Oh, well, my eyeballs, I got a wandering eye. I'm going to pluck it out. Okay? I understand what Jesus was going for here. And let me show you what I believe the Holy Spirit showed me this morning. It's personal responsibility for the offense. We have a personal responsibility to not be offended at everything. I taught a few years ago how today the church is the most offensive thing on the planet. We're offended at this. We're offended at that. We're offended that they're wearing long pants. Women are wearing long pants in church. We're offended that the preacher's wearing blue jeans. We're offended at every stupid thing we can find. You want to wear a suit? Wear a suit. I wore a nice one last week. I don't want to wear one today.
I heard that there's a pastor that
I imagine a preacher that packs a gun. Go figure. Yeah, go figure. But you know, I mean, there are people that get offended at the silliest things. I remember people getting offended because somebody wore sandals. And you know, and I had bound myself because of their offense. I bound myself to their religion on that, and I wouldn't wear sandals. And then one day, I mean, I'm just feeling all self-righteous and all this, you know. And God says, Art, what did Jesus wear? He would have wore sandals. Right. But you see, we get offended at the most ridiculous things. And here's the problem. The bait is so simple sometimes. I mean, we're not even talking about somebody coming out attacking you personally. We're talking about stupid things. And boom, we're stuck in a trap. We can't get out. I will tell you how to get out in a minute. Let's turn over to Luke. Chapter 17 and verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible. When Jesus says something is possible, it's possible. When he says it's impossible, it's impossible. It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Okay, first off, you do not have the right to deny anybody forgiveness. You are not God. And there's where you get into trouble when you deny people forgiveness. Okay, the other thing he starts showing me here is, most of the time we are offended, it's with somebody, right? Okay, let's say that your neighbor's dog comes over and digs up your petunias in your front flower bed. Just dug them all up. You yell at the dog and you scream at the dog, you might throw something at the dog. But who are you really offended at? The neighbor who owns the dog. That's who you're mad at. And the thing is, nine times out of ten, they don't know their dog did it. But now we're mad at somebody. And what Jesus is telling us is, go to that person. Talk to them. Let them know what transpired hurt you. And I pray that they aren't some religious nutcase who thinks that they are so self-righteous and everything that they don't offend anybody. And that they can see what they said or what they did hurt you. See, it should never be our jobs as believers to want to hurt anybody. Honestly, I'm telling you right now, I don't want to hurt anybody. That's why I say I try to stay out of confrontations, because when you hurt somebody I love, I want to inflict pain on you. Is there anybody in here that's any different? I just admitted it. We're all like that. But the problem is, so is the rest of the world. We can love those who love us. It's hard to love those who don't, isn't it? So when we get offended, though, at people, what happens is we're stuck in this trap now. And what we do is we start cutting. We start making cuts. Cutting this off, cutting this off, cutting this out of my life, and we're stuck. But yet life, have anybody noticed that when you're stuck in an offense, time continues? Life continues? Problem is, you're stuck back here. I will promise you, most of the time when people can't hear from God, one of two things are happening. They are in disobedience, and they're in an offense. They're in a trap. They can't hear God. Because, see, God is with time. And you stayed back here. So you need to go back to hear and forgive. And if that person is somebody who's intricate in your life, you got to go to them. That's why he said brother. That's why he used that word brother. Somebody who's a part of your life like that. Somebody that you don't see every 10 years, they're not an intricate part of your life, are they? But somebody you see every week, they're an intricate part of your life. And if they've offended you, you need to sit down and talk with them. And if you're the person on the I need to talk to you, brother, you offended me, I pray that you're humble enough. Do you understand Jesus was talking about humility in Matthew? He said, unless we humble ourselves as a child, we will by no means see the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't saying we need to act like children. We need to humble ourselves. When an adult talks to a child, the child is automatically humbled, right? Because as an adult, we kind of just take that stand. I'm the adult in this situation. And half the time we're acting like children. I think I got yelled at the other day with my children. Boys, and I mean all four of you. So sometimes we do act like children. But we cannot act like children when we're dealing with other people. Listen, you offended. And listen, let's make sure that what we're offended at was something that was worth it. That's why I say there's personal responsibility. Examine what it was that offended and why I'm offended. You listen to rock and roll, and I don't believe in rock and roll. Well, you know what? I don't believe in monotone garbage either, but it's still out there. So, let's just get on. And I know I come across a little crass and rough sometimes like that. I do that so that people will understand. It shakes you out of your comfort zone, doesn't it? Because you almost get offended. I hope you almost don't. You don't get offended, but that it shakes you enough that you realize, you know what? The things I was up all up in arms about, they're stupid. Well, you know what, Pastor? I don't believe that godly men should be doing this or should be doing that. I don't believe godly men should have guns or carry guns. Listen, that's your right. I believe they should. Because last time I checked, Jesus, when he told his disciples, he said, you know, before I told you not to take any weapons, but he says, now I'm telling you to take weapons. And the hilarious part about that whole thing was they produced two swords. 12 guys, and they got two swords. I know, I will bank that Simon the Zealot had one of them. You don't take a sword from a terrorist. You don't take his weapon. And somehow Peter ended up with one. So, but it doesn't mean we turn on each other. When we're offended, and like I said, I'm talking about serious offenses. You hurt somebody. You said something stupid. If it's come to your attention that you said it, you need to go to them. You need to repent and mean it. And by the way, here's what the word repent means. It means to go, stop what you're doing, and turn directions. Okay? It doesn't mean you just, oh, I'm so sorry that I did this. And you just keep going on like nothing ever happened. You turn around. You know, I have to look in the book of Genesis when God is looking down on mankind and he repented for making us. What did he do? He wiped out all but 8 of us with a flood. when we repent for something we've done, we should make it our goal not to be offensive anymore. Okay, let's say you've got a rude personality. Fix it. Being rude is not an excuse for your personality. Besides that, honestly, being rude is not part of a personality. It's a lack of training. It's a lack of social skills. I'll just call it what it is. Being shy, that's not a sin. But anybody who's ever had a lack of self-confidence knows what I'm talking about. It's a trap too, isn't it? It keeps you right here. You can't have friends because, you know what, they're better than me. Ain't nobody better than you. And you ain't any better than anybody else. We're all the same. We bleed the same. Black, yellow, red, or white. We bleed the same. We die the same. We rot in the ground the same. And we will stand before God the same. So when we're offended, we can't hear from God anymore. Because what we've done is we've trapped ourselves in sin. Somebody else's sin. I don't know about you, but I don't need to trap myself in anybody else's sin. It's enough of a job to stay out of my own. Especially when you got friends who are right there with you. We need to focus on love. You know, back in 2001, you know, I had turned my life completely around. And, I said a prayer when I was about 9 years old, and I got baptized 3 or 4 times when I was a little kid and all that stuff. Had no idea what was going on. Didn't know why I needed a Savior. I hadn't sinned. I mean, crying out, I was 8 years old, 8, 9 years old. I didn't even know what sin was yet, and let alone done any of it, in my opinion. But now knowing as an adult that because of Adam, all of mankind is born into sin, and we just need to receive Jesus. But I did not fully get saved until 1991. And it's at that point, I had lots of knowledge. I had lots of knowledge about God, but I also had lots of knowledge about American history and science and math and all that other stuff. It was just knowledge. And when I turned my life over to God completely, it took me a while to get out of things. It took me a while. And from 1991 to 2001, you know what my number one struggle was? Unforgiveness. Offense. And I will tell you, the culprits in this case, it was legitimate. Okay? Not only was it said to me, but they attacked somebody I loved. And I wasn't really big enough I was not taught to stand up. I've taught my boys, feel free to stand up. You have a mouth, feel free to use it. If somebody's abusing you or abusing somebody you love, you are an American. This is your right. You are a Christian. I'm not going to tell you that just because you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, that somebody comes up there and they start bad-mouthing me, that you got to take it. And like I said, looking back, we need to all know that we don't know all the situation. But these particular men were definitely in the wrong. And I held them for more than 10 years. But since I got actually saved to 2001, when I was able to forgive the last one, God had been dropping little hints, but God had not been talking to me like that, like he has. When I crawled out of that cage got out of that offense, God spoke to me. July 2001, I finally solidified. I'm done with holding them in unforgiveness. I'm done with that trap. I forgave them. September 2001, God told me to start this church. Spoke to me. Spoke. Not just said, here's my word. Find your path in my Bible. Or here's a prophet going to tell you what to do. He spoke to me. Ten years. Not hearing his voice. And then when I get out of that cage, boom, I heard his voice. That's what being in an offense will do to you. I don't care what has happened, how much water's under the bridge, you got to go back and deal with the bridge. You got to take care of what happened there. You've got to repent. And if this is a situation you cannot go to those people, then you set it in your heart that you are not going to be trapped anymore. And every time that something comes up, and I'll tell you, for me, I don't know about you, like, we're all a lot different, but for me, when an offense is trying to come upon me towards somebody, I get in a rush of adrenaline. And all I can say is, like I said, I fully understand the Incredible Hulk movies now. Just, I can feel that hopping up on the adrenaline. And there's even times I've told Angela something, things will happen and it'll just hit me all of a sudden, the adrenaline will hit me and my back just cramps. It almost paralyzes me. But if we bite on the offense, we will be stuck in that paralyzation forever until we get out of it. Things have to be dealt with in order for us to keep moving on. I always like the movie Count of Monte Cristo with Jim Caviezel. Really is a good movie. Never read the book because they made a movie. But, you know, in that, he begs who had been his fiance, she said, just forgive, let God have this. He said, don't take this from me. My hatred is all that I have. And we boil it down, that's exactly what unforgiveness is hatred. There's only two things, love and hate. And we aren't called to hate. I taught you a couple years ago a lesson about that. We aren't equipped to hate. When we hate, we cannot control it. What do you think happened to the devil? He couldn't control the jealousy. And then it rolled right over into hate and cost him everything. We were called to love. And if we love those people, we will forgive them. They may not know. Some of them may be dead, okay? That's why I'm telling you, you may not be able to go talk to them. But you can, in your heart, set this thing straight. And you can be free from it. And I will tell you, there are some people that if their things have not changed in their life at all, you can go to them, especially if they're sinners, they aren't going to hear you. They don't care. You're just some religious nut, found Jesus and got religion. Settle it in your heart. I'm done. I'm free from that prison. You do not have to stay in that prison. God didn't want you in that prison. The Bible says he came to set the captives free, folks. All we ever in picture are people that are in prisons who actually done something, and he's going in and setting them free. That's not what he's referencing. It's not what he's referencing at all. He's referencing those who were trapped in an offense. Somebody said something to him. You're ugly, you're fat, you're short, you're too tall. I thank God we're all different. What's that commercial for? The one with the guy playing, Jesse? Where you at? The commercial with the guy playing the piano. What is it? Android. It's for Android operating systems. If you haven't seen it, there's a guy, he's got tattoos. What's he playing? Well, I know he's playing the piano. What's the song? Moonlight Sonata. And he's playing it on one piano. Beautiful. Like I said, so many people, though, would start getting judgmental because he's got tattoos. Oh, he can't play piano. And he's just playing that thing beautifully. And then he turns around and he plays a piano that every key is tuned the exact same. You ought to find it and watch it. It really points out how God made us different for a reason. We blend, we work together when we're different. We have differences for reasons. There's some of us that are strong in one thing, whereas the other one is weak. And that's when we pick each other up. We don't have to be all things to all people. That's Jesus. I'm not going to rack my brain trying to figure out how to relate to 150 different people. You figure out how to relate to me. That's a lot simpler. I realize I'm a multifaceted personality sometimes, but see, we all have great things about us. And the problem is when we are trapped in an offense, those great things that are about us, people don't get to see them. Because over time, what happens is we become bitter. We become hard. And people don't get to see the true us. I've seen transformations in people over time that when they forgave, they finally got out of that prison, you started seeing more of who they really were. But people that got an offense and they held on to it, the great things that they've done have been shrouded because of that offense. Because what? Here's what happens. Okay. You get offended here. All right? I'm offended at this person. Okay, you're going down the road. For a little while, it just seems like I love these squares. I can use them. And you're just like, okay, I'm offended at them, that person. And over time, what happens is your heart becomes hard. And the longer you get away, you still haven't dealt with that offense, but yet time is still marching on, and your heart becomes so hard. Next thing you know, you're offending this person. You've offended that person. You start offending everybody. Well, that's just who I am. If you don't like it, you can take it or leave it. Enjoy dying alone. I don't want to die alone. Prefer not to die, but it's going to happen. But I don't want to die like that. I don't want to die when people, I can't wait till that old coot's gone anyhow. Because of something stupid somebody said back here. When I was a teenager. There's a lot of life after you're a teenager. I know when you're a teenager, you think, oh, my life is going by so fast. Wait till you're 20. You'll wake up, you're 30. And the rest of you know, those of you who are older can tell me. And it just keeps marching like that. Because it seems just like yesterday I turned 40. But it wasn't. I'm on the other side, pushing the other side. So I don't want to be down here at 90 years old and so cold, because that is not, because I wouldn't forgive that person for being stupid. And sometimes I think it might be the arrogant Marine in me. Well, people are stupid. I don't know. But I know that if we keep going back to here and we can't get out of that, we will be trapped forever. And I know every person in here has got those spots, those little places. I ain't saying that you got to go back and be best buds, but maybe it was a good friend, and maybe God will restore it. Or maybe it was a passing friendship or relationship or an acquaintance, and you just need to get through it. You don't ever have to. The last person I had to forgive, I've only seen one time since I forgave him. And I will tell you right now, he challenged my call. Well, I didn't bite on his offense then. I'm not biting now. I would just as soon stand and say, let's let the facts fall where they lay. One of us was called, one of us wasn't. And trust me, and by the way, I want you to know I said something last week about asking God, if there's any way to work me out of this equation, feel free to do it. Listen, as long as God wants me here, I will be here. I'm not running off. Okay? Sometimes I just get a little frustrated with people. But that's what we deal with, isn't it? There ain't a person in here who doesn't deal with people. There's not one person. I had to go to the bank yesterday. And, after shooting and realizing I can't see the target after 16 feet, which is not very far. And going in there and went to get some money out, and the card said, please call the number. Please call the number. I was like, okay, now wait a minute. This card acted up in Columbus on me the other day. And so I went to the counter and said, hey, what can you tell me about this? It's telling me, it's got me locked out or something. And it was on the church account. And I'm like, one, I know I'm on the account. I'm the number one name on it. Two, I know there's money in it. Can you tell me what's going on? And the gal, she looks at me and she says, Art, don't hate me. I'm like, oh, man. Now what? And, she just told me that the fraud department had locked out my card because I bought something at Target in Ontario and then that afternoon bought something at Target in Polaris. So they locked my card out. You Einsteins. It's a half hour from where I live either way. Think about it. And then Kyle tells me, he says, yeah, they finally caught my ear for somebody bought $800 worth of airline tickets. I'm like, yeah, all I was buying was shelves for the library. But anyhow, when she said that, Tony worked at a bank. People get mad at them for doing their job. No, you have no money. I can't give you any money. One person put their money in this special account that's supposed to be locked in. You can't touch it. And got mad because she wouldn't give her money. Give him his money back. Grow up, you big baby. You're the one that signed a little paper saying, I cannot touch this money for X amount of months. It's there. But see, we get mad at everybody else. And most of it's because of our own stupidity. We don't want to read the fine print. Well, if you don't want to read the fine print, well, you do what the fine print says when it happens, doesn't it? So let's spend less time being offended at people and more time forgiving them and watching and hearing God. I mean, that is what's so phenomenal. When we're in offense, and listen, I've had people come and tell me, oh, I haven't heard from God for a long time. I can promise you, we'll go back. When God quit talking to you, one of two things happened. You either disobeyed what God told you then, or you got into an offense at that point. That's it. God continues to talk to people. But if you got an offense, it's not that God isn't trying to talk. When you're in offense, you've got these headphones on, these sound canceling headphones. and you can't hear his voice because you're trapped. You're in a prison. And all you need to do is get out of it. Father, forgive me for holding them. And if he instructs you to, go to them and say, listen, you really hurt me. And if he doesn't instruct you to do that, like I said, I always thought it's best to just go to people and just deal with it right there. You know what? There's a time you got to learn, you know, when the dog is baring his teeth, he's not wagging his tail anymore, isn't the time to go try to make friends with him. Maybe come back with a T-bone and he might be your friend. But sometimes you just need to say, God, I forgive them, and keep it. And you may have to walk in that every day. That's why Jesus said, if he comes to you seven times in a day, forgive him. So here's the concept of religion. It says, oh, if I forgive him seven times, then do I have the right to hold him in unforgiveness? And Jesus said, no. I say seven times 70. So in other words, every stinking day of your life, you've got to forgive. And there are days I have to stop and say, why am I getting mad at this person? I haven't spoke to this person in 6 months. And it's not because we're offensive or we're offended at each other. We just don't speak. And I refuse to bite. And Lord, if there's anything they have done, and what it is some of the things, and some of the people have done something to a family member, I refuse. I'm done. I'm done biting on people's offense. You know, here's the thing. Here's what people don't understand. This is why it hurts when people just run off from the church and never say goodbye. When people have hurt you, I've gotten mad. Stop and think about it. I've wanted to whoop people. But I'm done biting on offense. Because it's not doing you any good, and it sure ain't doing me any good. They hurt you, I'm going to tell you to forgive them. Pray for them who spitefully use you. You do know what the word spitefully means. They do it on purpose. Because let's be honest. I realize I'm getting older, and there's a generation that's a lot stronger and younger than me and can handle the butt whooping more than I can. I always told my boys, I said, listen, I said, don't you dare be a bully at school, but don't you dare back down. And I said, and if you got somebody, you go telling people I can whoop their daddy, please check out the size of their daddy first before you make that. I said, I'll try. But we're not called to be stuck in offense, people. We're called to live a joyful life. That's why Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's come to take everything away from you. Life, your joy, your happiness. We are entitled to the pursuit of happiness in this country. The pursuit. We should not be bound because of something somebody stupid and insensitive said. And I'm not saying that men, we all need to be more sensitive. Sensitivity has nothing to do with being feminine. Men, you're called men. I don't care what you get cut off and get added on. Your DNA says you are male. That's all there is to it. 200 years from now, they exhume your body, can't tell. They pull out the DNA out of your bones. It will say Bruce Jenner. I can't bounce around that one. Y'all knew where I was going. So, we are not called to be sissy guys. We stand up when we need to stand up. We're men. We're called to be men. We are rough. We are tough. That's the way we're supposed to be. Now, Miss Cindy. How about we pray for one good one? How's that? Who's worth his weight of two? But you have that right. Don't hold yourself in somebody else's prison. They probably don't even know they did it. That's the scary part. They probably don't even know. Forgive them and get on with your life. Life's too short. All right, let's stand. You know, Jesus said something. He said, "You will be able to forgive their sins, and their sins will be forgiven of them." You need to forgive their sins, and it will be forgiven because it's you they sinned against. Your neighbor's dog didn't do it. Your neighbor didn't. Well, your neighbor didn't do it. The neighbor's dog did it. Go talk. Don't go over ready to fight. What you go in ready to do is what will happen. It's what, and again, I cannot reiterate enough, ask God which ones you need to go to and which ones you just need to let Him have and let Him deal with them. Because the thing is, here's the problem, folks. We all know this. Offended people offend people. Hurting people hurt people. If you want to stop hurting, if you've ever been hurt, I need you to understand this. You are hurting somebody if you are not forgiving. You are hurting those you love the most because you refuse to forgive the hurt back here. And all you're doing is hurting. You keep hurting, and you don't mean to. It's just going to happen. No need to have a prayer line. All you need to do is forgive. I think the most powerful things that I'm going to tell you right now, I've got people telling me some great things that God's doing in their lives because they're applying the word. One thing I've never been a big fan of is preaching a message that had no purpose. I'm not going to get up here and read you a psalm and then sit down and dismiss you. Message should be able to take it and apply it. Like I said, I already had my opportunity this morning. And now that you've had this message, I will warn you. Take notice. I'm warning you now. The opportunity is about 60 seconds away. You may get offended. See, this whole time I've been preaching, you've been sitting in your seat listening to me, maybe getting offended, I don't know. But the real opportunity is about to come. May not happen in here. May not happen in the parking lot. It may happen at the gas station or the grocery store or at the restaurant or at work. Some of you got good work. It may happen. I promise you, you will have the chance. If I remember, I might ask how many people had the opportunity to be offended next week. I guarantee you, every one of you will. It's the way it always works. When I talk about love, people say, "Oh boy, Pastor, I had a hard time this week. Love and people, you must have known." No, God knew. God knew you were going to have to deal with loving somebody unlovable. God knew you were going to have to deal with somebody who's going to offend you. Some of you may say, "You know what? I've been good. I've learned that." Well, it's a good refresher, and it's a good lesson for those of you who don't know. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we praise your holy name, and we thank you, Father, that you forgave us. Lord, I know that each and every one of us in our heart, deep in our hearts, does not want to hold anybody in unforgiveness or in an offense. So, Father, I pray now that you begin to move on our hearts, open our eyes and our ears to hear the truth, as hard as it may be to us, but that we will deal with what has to be dealt with instead of keep pushing it back and saying, just leave the skeleton in the closet. Father, skeletons don't belong in closets. They belong in graves. Help us put them there to leave them there. Now, Father, I thank you and I praise you for your love and for your wisdom. And Father, I pray for those this week that are moving into areas that are unfamiliar to them. I ask, Lord, that you lead them and guide them. Father, I thank you that you're touching bodies that are sick. In Jesus' name, we pray for the Kanegi family and any of them, Father, who may be sick today. Lord, I thank you right now. You're healing them and touching them. In Jesus' name, amen.